Some nights are too good to forget.
It's tell Booth it up and they got home. Okay. KU105.104 FM. Which it's on yeah, my new method of something I got it. Right? It's telling them about the gun of the home. Right? It's do it every day. Which? Amanda?
Shoot, man, you're coming down the road.
Grandma's cabin in the woods. I'm gonna spend some Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to a special edition of Tell the Band to Go Home, UMFM's weekly singer-songwriter show. My name's Jeff, and for the past 5 years now, I've been starting off the show pretty much the same way. More or less every Sunday for the past 5 years. I've been here playing you singer-songwriters, and it's been my honor and my pleasure. Yesterday was officially the day, in September the 29th, pardon me, of 2002, the very first episode of Tell the Band to Go Home aired on a Sunday afternoon, and we've been here ever since. They've been trying to get rid of us, but darn it, we just keep coming back. So today we're gonna celebrate the past 5 years or so, and give you a little bit of history, give you a little bit of the best, and and a little bit of the worst of the past 5 years. So it'll be a little different episode this week. Hopefully you'll enjoy it, and hopefully you'll stick by. I'd love to hear from you today if you have any memories of the past 5 years, or you want to know what's going on, just give me a call here, 269-8636-269-UMFM. Or you can always drop an email at jeff@tellthebandtogohome.com. And I sure do appreciate all the people who have taken the time to do that already. And maybe we'll hear from some of those folks a little bit later on the show. I really do like to know who's out there and how long you've been out there and why the heck you listen to me ramble on every week. It is great to hear from you. So if you're so inclined, do that. Or, if you're in the neighborhood, pop on by. I don't have any cake or anything, but I guess you could, bring me one. No. We are on the third floor of University Center at the University of Manitoba. And, if you're in the neighborhood, just swing on by. It's a nice afternoon. Maybe go for a little drive. But, so stick around. We will have a bit of a history, like I said, and I think you might be amused by some of that. But, 5 years ago, September the 29th, 2002, we kicked it off with our very first live guest here in the studio. His name is Chris Demeanor. He's from Calgary, and he did a pretty fantastic set. And then after that, we were supposed to talk to the guy who gives the show its name, a guy named Paul McLeod from Waterloo, Ontario. And if all goes well, we will play. Right now, I'm going to play the Chris Demeanor. And then if all goes well after that, maybe we'll talk to Paul McLeod. We're hoping to hear from him today. Haven't talked to him in 5 years, so hopefully he'll give us a call today. But anyways, here is how it started out. This is something live from Chris Demeanor and Chantel Vitalis 5 years ago right here on UMFM. Something called This Old House on Tell the Band to Go Home.
We'll do this song called This Old House.
In 1910, they laid the foundation, imprinted the date in the sidewalk cement. This old house, the dream of the town's first policeman. He picked out the straight beams of fur for the frame for himself. Retirement was not his speed, and the back room became the best unlicensed bait shop around. And the pit where he dumped all the fish ends and dead bits of bait to this day fertilizes the ground. It was well known that while on the beat, beating the drink out of native boys suited his style. Revenge came late, but sweet he was found with a rigging hook sunk in the roof of his mouth. This old house breeds and this old house speaks. While this old house lasts, it reeks of the past. This old house breeds and this old house speaks. While this old house lasts, it reeks of the rail yard men. Were set up in company flats, so close to the tracks they were up all night. The squeal of the steel boiled in their brains and needed a vent when the slower times came. This old house lay 2 stone throws away, possessed by a lame petty thug and his mom. I don't want to know what goes on downstairs, but it feels like a family when you boys come. The last hand was out, and a rookie won big, and the mood had turned foul, and he thought best to share. He forked out 5 bills on 2 higher-class girls, whose bodies were found 10 days later downstream. This old house breeds and this old house speaks. While this old house lasts, it reeks of the past. Pikachu is the the name of that terrier yapping downstairs outside, pissing all over our feet. And the metallic Trans Am with the novelty plate jack me off in our parking spot out in the street. Me and my girl in our character home, renting the main floor of this old house. Come back to the lights, the vans and the tape surrounding the scene of the homicide. The neighbors were short order cooks, their schizophrenic drinking friend screwed off his meds in the night. My girl said, think of them stabbed in their beds, and likely us here making love while they died. This old house breeds and this old house speaks, while this old house lasts, it reeks of the past. This old house breeds and this old house speaks, while this old house lasts, it reeks of. Lime and ice and carbonation. She gave him nudges, pushes, proddings. She watched him work with folded arms and careful nodding, and had a fit when he fell asleep and burnt two-thirds of his body. And now he's saying, slow yourself down, this is easy. But she measured living by how often she was queasy. Speed it up, she said, yeah, go now. You're clumsy drunk and you're boring sober. We have time to wait for some fairies to fill your sad bones with precious energy. Speed it up, she said. Speed it up, she said. But it sped over and under and through his tired head. He wove a spell that was founded on friction. It melted down to a pool. No distinction. He didn't mind when she bought herself roses. She stopped drinking 6 months ago and he never noticed. He started going to cheap arcades and saying, I'll be back when it closes. Well, you can't complain that I lack ambition. Well, I get record laps and I never miss making pole position. Speed it up, she said, you're going nowhere. You're clumsy drunk and you're boring sober. We have time to wait for some fairies to fill your sad bones with precious energy. Speed it up, she said. Speed it up, she said. But it sped over and under and through his tired head. Difference between freshness and rawness. She ended up making bedrooms around him. Mutual friends started asking her where she'd found him. Looked at the video membership cards that probably still surround him. She recorded a tape loop and left it at his feet and turned it up louder than the sound of her running down the dead quiet street.
Paul McLeod there from Waterloo, Ontario, with a song called Cruelty from an album called Tell the Band to Go Home. And before that, we heard Chris Demeter live in the studio here 5 years ago. And, you know, when I started off the show today, I invited you, you know, to drop by with cake if you so desired. And I was just kidding. I don't know if you guys know that, but I was just joking. I didn't really mean it. But we have cake now. And, well, not so much cake, I guess, cupcakes. Well, there's, I don't know. There's cake and cupcakes. If anybody wants a cupcake, come on down here to the third floor University Center. They look really good. Thank you. I'm very humbled and honored that you'd stop by. Would you like to say hi? As a former host of the show or a sometimes host, just pull that one down.
Yeah. Hello.
Who are you?
I'm Alicia.
Welcome back, Alicia. It's been a while since you've been on the show.
Thank you.
Would that guy over there like to say hello? Come on over here. Who came with you today?
Carter.
Don't bunk him in the nose.
Hello.
Hi, Carter. How are you?
Good.
Well, thanks for coming down. I'm speechless. You brought cake and all kinds of things. Do you want me to help me? Do you want to help me blow out the candles or?
Do you think? Okay.
Yeah. All right. Come on over here. So we got five candles burning away here in the studio. By the way, if the CRTC is listening, you know it's not, they're not real candles. But all right, you want to help? Ready? One, two, three. Oh! We didn't even. We got one.
Four girlfriends.
We got one. With two of us blowing, how did we only get one candle out? That's better. All right, so so I guess the birthday party is officially on. It's 5 years of Tell the Band to Go Home and 5 years of fun. For those that don't know, I've actually been on the air longer than 5 years, but this show started 5 years ago in the spring of 2001. I got a call from a guy here at the station who some of you might know as Dr. Tongue. Dr. Tongue was one of our volunteer coordinators at the time or something, I don't know. And I had filled out an application to volunteer here at the station. And then nobody ever called me for a long time, so I just kind of thought they forgot all about me. You know how people forget all about me from time to time? Yeah. You know how it happens. But so anyways, Dr. Tongue called me up one day, and he asked me, he said, you know, I used to know a guy with the same name as you, or do you happen to be the same guy? And I was like, well, I don't know. And it turns out that Dr. Tongue grew up on my street, and he just saw my application and thought that, you know, I wondered if I was that guy. And so we got to talking, and he said, well, I don't know what your plans are, but if you want to come down here and help out at the station, we'd love to have you sometime. And I said, okay, you know, why not? And he said, well, we have this show that's on the air. It's called The Songwriter's Circle. And it was hosted by a lady named Lisa Marie Serafin, who we heard off the top of the show. The very first song that we played was something called Grandma's Cabin by Lisa Marie Serafin, a local singer-songwriter. And what she liked to do was she had this show called The Songwriter Circle, and she had her friends come in, and they'd sit over there in chairs, and they'd play songs for each other and just kind of hang out and have a good time. But Lisa Marie is, you know, as wonderful a musician and as wonderful a lady as she wasn't exactly technically proficient, so she needed somebody to push the buttons here. There's a lot of buttons here. Can you see how many buttons there are?
Yeah.
It's not really that hard. It just looks complicated. But so she needed somebody to come and push the buttons. And, you know, Dr. Tongue said, well, it's not a very fancy job, but if you want to come and push the buttons on Songwriter Circle. And I said, well, I'd actually heard the show, and I thought it was a pretty good show, and I was quite honored to do so. So, you know, I came in, and I pushed some buttons on Lisa Marie's show for a while. And, you know, generally had a good time. I didn't say anything for a long time. I just kind of hung out. And then a few months after that, I got called into the station manager's office, which, you know, I've been called into the station manager's office many times over the years. Have you ever been called into the principal's office, Carter?
No.
Well, that's good. You keep it that way. But anyways, when you get called into the principal's office, it's sometimes, you know, it's sometimes not a good thing. And believe me, over the years, I've been in there for not good things. But got called into the station manager's office, and she said, how would you feel about pushing more buttons more often? And I was like, great, I loved it. You know, I was having a good time. She said, I need somebody to help push buttons for a guy named Howard Manshine. Have you guys ever heard of Howard Manshine?
No.
That's probably for the best. I know Mom has heard of Howard Manshine. Howard Manshine has been on the radio pretty much longer than I've been alive, I think. I used to listen to Howard Manshine when I was a little kid, and I thought he was amazing. So I jumped at the chance to work with Howard Manshine. And so I started pushing his buttons for a while and did that for a while. And, you know, I even got to say something once in a while on Howard's show. And it had been my dream for a long time to host my own radio show and play music that I liked for the people, because I knew all this great music that people didn't know about, and I wanted them to hear it. So I dreamed of hosting my own show. And then one time it happened. Howard didn't like to come in on the holidays, so sometimes he would ask somebody to fill in for him so he didn't have to come in. And on the Canada Day weekend in 2001, Howard asked me to do the show. I was very honored. I got to do my own show, 2001. That's a long time ago. It's like 6 years ago. It's almost as long as you've been alive. Carter just had his birthday. How old are you now?
7.
Yeah, 7 years old now. So anyway, 6 years ago, 6 and a half almost, I did this show, this Canada Day show, because I love Canadian music. And you might not believe me. When I first played this for your mom, she didn't actually know who this was, which is kind of embarrassing. But just, you know, while we're in embarrassing me mode, let's play a little bit of me from 6 years ago, 6 and a half years ago or so.
Okay.
Good idea.
Would you like to hear that? Would you like to hear me embarrass me on myself on a Sunday afternoon?
Yeah. Okay.
All right. So here's just, I won't make you listen to the whole thing because it's painful. But here's a clip of me from my Canada Day show, 2001, July the 2nd on Free Range Radio on Monday night. Check this out. Honest, it's me. Do you believe that was me?
No.
Do you believe it? That's pretty silly, hey?
Yeah.
But you know what? The show actually got worse. I even told a joke on the show. Do you want to hear my joke? It's not a dirty joke, so you can tell this one at school, but you won't really understand what it means because it's a bad, bad joke. Do you want to hear my joke?
Yeah.
All right. Let's,
yeah.
Let's pull up the joke here. Hang on. Just give me a second. All right. So here's my Canada Day joke from 2001. Here you go. Thank you. Yes, and that's why I haven't told a joke in 6.5 years, I don't think, because that one was not very good. But there you go. Did you like that joke? You weren't even listening because we were busy posing for pictures with these lovely cupcakes. That, by the way, I didn't really mention them. I mean, not only are they beautiful and I'm sure delicious, but they spell out "Tell the band to go home" on the cupcakes. So if anybody wants a piece of that, just come on down here. Are you going to have one, Carter?
Maybe.
Maybe? Really? I didn't know if you'd eat that. But, wow, look at that. That looks fantastic. What should we play next? Should we play one more from 2001?
Yeah.
Do you think that's funny? Yeah. All right, let's play one more. This is the very end of the show, so this will be it. But this is how we signed off. I wasn't trusted to do the whole show by myself. The station manager wasn't sure that I could handle it at the time. So she had a guy who's been around here for a long time, and I knew before I came here because we used to do TV together. His name's John Prentice. He hosts a great show here, and he had an interview to do at the Folk Festival, which was coming up. And so we played that after I was done my little thing. So anyways, we'll hear a little clip of the end of the show, and I think, I'm not sure whether I introduced John Prentice's thing or not, but here you go. This is how the show ended. Oh! I didn't want to play that one yet. I'm sorry. I played that one too fast. But anyways, so after that, I got to host Songwriter Circle once in a while, eventually, and I started to host it more and more. And then eventually, I just kind of took over, and I wasn't just pushing buttons anymore. I just became annoying. And every once in a while, Lisa Marie would take a day off, and I would host the show in her absence. And I don't know. I think it started to be pretty good. I actually managed to get some big guests on the show when I was hosting. And one time in February of 2002, before it became Tell the Band to Go Home, I heard this song by this guy who I'd never really heard of before. And I decided to do some digging and see if I could get him on my show. And I lined up an interview with this guy and found out later on that he was sort of a rock star in the States. And then since then, he's become, like, one of the biggest rock stars around. But in 2002, he was here. Well, he wasn't here, but he spoke to me on the show. His name is John Mayer. Have you ever heard of John Mayer?
Never.
No. Well,
no.
He went out with Jessica Simpson. Have you heard of Jessica Simpson?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, he went out with her. So, because nobody even believes me that I once had John Mayer on the show, I'm going to play a bit of the interview with John Mayer. It's not too long. But do you mind listening to that?
No.
All right, here you go. Here's me talking to John Mayer. By the way, back in the olden days, we used to archive shows. There were only really two ways that you could archive a show, and the one that I used most of all, I would record them on cassette. You see this cassette player right here? You guys probably don't even know what cassettes are.
Yeah.
But I used to record my show on cassette, but the problem with a cassette is that after 45 minutes, it kind of stops. And lucky for me, it always stopped at the wrong time, including right at the beginning of my interview with John Mayer. So I missed the whole beginning of my interview with John Mayer because I was busy trying to talk to him and trying to flip over the tape at the same time. So it cuts off the beginning. But here's some of me talking to the now rock star John Mayer on Songwriter Circle in February of 2002. Jesus, that's not even it. This one right here. There we go. Yeah. If only he knew. If only he knew. Maybe he did. He was going to become a rock star. That's John Mayer there, live on Teleband to Go Home in 2000, or Songwriter Circle in 2002. Pardon me. Then after that, like I say, I kept working with Lisa Marie for a while, And after a while, she, don't listen, Carter, but she fell in love. Isn't that gross? She met a guy and liked this guy, but the guy was from Quebec. It was a bit of a problem. So you know what she had to do?
No.
She had to follow her heart, and she had to go be with this guy in Quebec. So she had to move away, which turned out not to be such a bad thing because I ended up getting to do the show. But when she moved, I didn't know that. So we did a big last show. I don't know the exact date of this, but it was in the spring of 2002 anyway. And we did this show where some of her favorite guests and friends came in, and we had this little sort of going away party for her as the last show. And we weren't sure whether this was going to be the last show forever or not. I was under the impression that I could just keep doing the show. Because my friend Jared, I don't know if you probably didn't meet Jared the last time you were here, but Jared is now the station manager, but he was the program director at the time. And he said, well, yeah, you do a good show, and I don't see any reason why you shouldn't just keep doing it. And I said, well, that's great. Unfortunately, as much as he was the program director, Jared didn't have the final say. And it turned out that the station manager at the time had a better idea. She had this friend who wanted to do this show that didn't involve me at all. So the idea was for this other show to start after Songwriter Circle finished. But the other show wasn't quite ready to go when Songwriter Circle finished. So I was told that I might be allowed to fill in once in a while until this other show was ready to go. So that's all I knew at the last Songwriter Circle. So I'll play a couple of little clips of that show from the spring of 2002. Anyways, here's something from Songwriter Circle, 2002. Okay, so I'm getting some calls today. First of all, I appreciate everybody who's calling, but some people are saying that they can't really hear the interviews, which has me a little bit stumped, because you can hear them, right?
Yeah.
I can hear them. So I'm not sure why people at home can't hear them. So, I mean, if you can hear them, I'd love to know that as well, but I'm not sure what to do, because I have a whole bunch of this stuff that was supposed to eat up a lot of time today. So if I can't play them, I'm not sure what to do. Maybe you guys will have to sing.
Oh.
Have you written any songs yet, Carter?
No.
No? Well, maybe you could write one while we're here today. Do you think?
No.
A song about, like, a dog, or maybe about Bob the cat? No?
No.
All right. Never mind then. So the deal is that after Lisa Marie moved away, and sorry, I don't get to play those for you. I think I'm going to put most of the stuff up on the website in case anybody has a burning desire to hear this garbage again. But I got all this stuff from the archives that I've been digging up, and I'll probably put it on the website on the downloads page for you to check out. But after Lisa Marie moved away, like I say, I wasn't technically supposed to. Should we just, you know what we'll do? Here, do you have, here, put those on. All right, you got them on?
No.
Oh, see, now the person knew what we were going to do and hung up. Somebody was calling and we were going to put them on the air and you were going to answer the phone.
Oh.
But now I guess we're not going to do that.
Nope.
Because they hung up. But if anybody does want to talk to us on the air, you got comments, you got something to say about the show, even if it's bad, just phone us up. Just be nice because Alicia's here, Carter, you know. You can always phone us up, 269-8636, 269-UMFM, or send an email, jeff@tellthebandtogohome.com. And we'd love to hear from you. But anyways, so originally I wasn't sure that I was going to get to be on the radio at all because apparently there was another show that was going to be better than mine. So I was kind of just told, like, all right, you can come in and do it, you know, the next show. And that's going to be the only time. Just that one show. And I was like, okay, great. You know, me, I'll host a show anytime, anywhere. You want to give me one show, I'll do it. No problem. So I go in and do that show, and it was my last show, and I, you know, had a good time. And I thought that was it. And then I got a call about a week later saying, hey, you want to do another show? But it's only for one show, just one time. Okay, no problem, I'll do it. So I came in and did another show. And this became a weekly occurrence, you know, like I would get told that this was my only show and then I'd, you know, get to do it one more time. So I ended up doing it pretty much all that summer on a sort of week-by-week basis. Actually, it was a every second week basis. We were only on bi-weekly. Every second Sunday we were on. So I'd come in and do these shows, and I didn't really have a name for the show because it wasn't really Songwriter Circle anymore, so I just called it My Show because I was happy to be hosting my own show. It was kind of dorky, but it was kind of fun too. So I just came in and did that for a while, and then eventually it became obvious that the other show that was supposed to come on just was never going to happen. Mm-hmm. So eventually I was allowed to host a show. I was very excited. So I had this show, but I didn't have a name for it, you know. So I didn't really know what to do. So I had this, because I have no creativity at all. I asked my friends to come up with names for the show. I wish you had been around. You know, had known you at the time, because even though you were 2 years old or whatever, you might have come up with a good idea for me. I guess you're a little older. Five.
Yeah.
Do you think at five you could have come up with a good name for my show?
Maybe.
So I couldn't come up with a name, so I asked all my friends to come up with names for the show. And then the problem was...
That one works.
That's right. Then the problem was all my friends came up with all these great ideas for the show, and because I liked all the names and I liked all the people that were sending them in, I couldn't decide who, you know, what to pick. It became even worse than trying to think up something on my own. It was a nightmare. So eventually, I didn't know what to do. So I couldn't pick. It was like picking, you know, my favorite out of you guys. Like, I couldn't pick who I like better, Carter or Alicia. I mean, it's just impossible, right? So I just had to come up with something else. So what I did was I came up with my own name after all. Well, I stole it. I stole it from a guy named Paul McLeod, who, by the way, Paul, if you're out there, you can still give us a call. We're still waiting to hear from you. 269-8636, 269-UMFM. And I picked the title of his album, Tell the Band to Go Home, because I thought it was kind of perfect for what we were doing. First of all, nobody in the world has ever heard of Paul McLeod, but I think he's a genius. So that was perfect for what we were doing, because we try to do stuff like that. People that, you know, you haven't really heard that much of. So I like that aspect, and I like the fact that he's a guy who plays, he sometimes plays sort of loud rock and roll music. He's played with bands like the Skydiggers. You ever heard of the Skydiggers?
No.
No. Martin Tielli, you ever heard of Martin Tielli?
No.
No. But he can also play by himself and do a fantastic job by himself. So it was kind of a perfect thing, and there's, you know, there's kind of a play on the words, you know, tell the band to go home. It's like a singer-songwriter show. It's the band, you know, whatever. Mm. So we had some fun with it. So I picked the title of this thing, put it on the air, and we've been here for 5 years ever since. So I think if you don't mind, we'll play one more from Paul McLeod.
Sure.
All right, something else from...
I think I heard of him.
Yeah? Something from an album called...
Tell the band to go home.
There you go. You got it. See, you're a natural. And, oh, you know what I didn't mention, Alicia? We actually have a copy of Tell the Band to Go Home to give away today.
Oh, cool.
So we have the actual CD, which is which for years and years has been hard to find. It's just been re-released on the Busted Flat label. And Mark from Busted Flat was kind enough to give us a copy. So we're going to give away a copy of Tell the Band to Go Home today. We also have a copy of Paul McLeod's newest CD, Bright Eyes Fade, which is absolutely fantastic. Maybe we'll even play something off that. And you know how we're going to give these away? We actually have another prize, too. I think it's just Shannon Lyon's CD. Shannon Lyon is great. I know your mom likes Shannon Lyon. But we're going to give these away a couple of different ways. Number one, we have coming up later on in the show, we have our stats. Do you know what stats are?
No.
They're kind of like statistics. They're like we're going to tell people which artists we've played the most here on the show. So who are our favorite people that we've played on the show? The person that we've played the most on the show. The person that we've played the most on the show, I don't know if it's a surprise or not. I was a little bit surprised, but I was surprised that this guy or this person has been played 10 more times than the second guy. And I was kind of surprised, actually, at you know how much more this guy has been played. And so if you can guess who that is, or if you can guess our most played song, and that's a tough one, I'll give you a hint. It's someone local. Our most played song over the past 5 years, or our most played artist, or if you really want to take a guess, you can guess at our most played album. There's two of them. It's a tie. What are you laughing at me for?
I have a question.
Okay.
Is it Andrew Neville?
It is not Andrew Neville.
Oh, okay.
But we have our first caller already. Should we take it?
Yeah.
All right, put on your headphones there. All right, and then you just say, "Hi, UMFM." Say
hey,
say
how's
that.
Going there?
Hi, UMFM.
Hey, how's it going there?
Hi.
Hi. Is it Nathan?
You know what? It's not Nathan, actually. Nathan, as the most played artist, Nathan comes in at number three, actually.
I haven't been listening to the show, unfortunately, as diligently as I would want to, and I thought that might have been it, so I went for a guess there.
But you know what? You still have a chance. Who are we talking to, by the way?
Paul here, hi.
Paul, what we're going to do is we're going to give away another prize. All the people that call today or all the people that send us an email, we're going to put in a draw and we're going to draw for another prize. So Okay. You still got a chance, Paul.
Okay then.
And you can always guess later on in the show. Like you can guess again later, but just, you know, call one time per guess. Let's put
okay,
it
okay, you got it, man.
All right, so thanks for calling, Paul, and it's been good to have you.
Excellent, man.
All right.
Enjoy the show.
All right.
Bye-bye.
All right, Alicia, let's do it again. Oh, here, hang on. Okay. Say hello, UMFM.
Hello, UMFM.
Hi. Is it JP Ho?
For which one? The most played artist?
Yeah.
It is not. He comes in at number four, but that's an excellent guess. Who am I talking to?
Ivan,
how's it going, buddy?
Good.
Did mom or dad give you that answer?
Yeah, my mom.
Yeah. Mom's pretty smart. She's close, but not quite. So thanks for calling, Ivan.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
This is fun, hey? Okay, let's do it again. Say hello.
Hello, UMFM.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. My guess would be Scott Nolan.
No, but that's a good guess. You know what? Actually, Scott Nolan, not even in the top 20.
Really? Can I have another guess?
What do you think, Alicia?
Yeah.
Oh, thanks, Alicia.
Oh, Alicia must like you. All right.
How about Dan Frechette?
Dan Frechette. No, we hardly ever play Dan Frechette on this show. I don't know why.
Well.
Maybe because I don't have a CD. But that's a good guess. Who am I talking to?
Laura,
thanks for calling. We'll put you in the draw, okay? Listen
great.
Later on the show.
Thank you.
All right, thank you. This is becoming a call-in show now. Say hello, UMFM again.
Hello, UMFM.
Good afternoon.
Oh, hi.
Hi.
Who are we talking to?
It's Lucy.
Hi, Lucy. Do you know... have?
What a wonderful bunch of people you have there.
Isn't it great? We're having cake.
I wish I was there.
Well, I heard you were invited but decided not to come.
Well, only because work was calling my name.
More important than your son,
apparently. I'm wishing I was there.
We're wishing you were here too, Lucy, but did you have a guess or you just wanted to say hi?
I was going to guess the Jennies.
The Jennies are high up there. They're tied with Nathan at number three, actually.
Oh, crap.
But an excellent guess. An excellent guess.
Okay.
But we'll put you in the draw, Lucy.
Thanks.
Thanks for calling.
You guys have fun.
All right, we will.
Bye.
Okay. All right,
bye-bye.
Okay, so I think now we'll play that song that we were going to play.
Okay.
And you can keep calling throughout the show, and we'll let you know when somebody guesses. All right, so anyways, here's something else from Paul McLeod. I absolutely love this song. It's called Giants. And Carter, do you know what show everybody's listening to?
Tell the band to go home.
Do you know what station it's on?
No.
UMFM?
Oh, yeah.
Say UMFM.
UMFM.
Here's Paul McLeod from Tell the Band to Go Home. And tell me, by the way, if you can't hear it, because if you can't hear it, then there's a real problem. But anyways, here's Paul McLeod.
This is a song called Giants.
That is Paul McLeod from the album Tell the Band to Go Home, which we're giving away today. And folks are really liking this contest, and that's making me feel good. I'm really enjoying it as well. So I just have to clarify a couple of things, because I realize that I haven't been clear. And I appreciate the fact that people are pointing that out. But, okay, so the top played artist is not from Winnipeg. Is not from Winnipeg. So that's a hint right there. The top played artist... Well, you know what? Not from Winnipeg. Is that a good enough hint, Carter, or do I need to tell whether it's a man or a woman?
Good enough.
Yeah? Well, let's just say that the artist has more in common with Carter than with Alicia. Let's put it that way. The top song is by a local performer. That's it. So that's, you know, the song that we've played the most. And it's neck and neck with another local performer who's in at number two. So actually, if you guessed either one of those, because one has been played 13 times and one has only been played 12, if you guessed either one of those, then I'd give you a prize. So the song, local. Artist, not local. Got that? Okay. Our first big in-studio thing, I think, anyway, was we had the Waylon Jennies on here. Have you heard of the Waylon Jennies, Carter?
No.
I know Nanny likes the Waylon Jennies because Mom gave Nanny a CD. So maybe you've heard the Waylon Jennies at Nanny's house. Maybe don't play with that quite as much. It just makes kind of a weird noise. Okay? The Waylon Jennies came in here on their first birthday in January of 2003. And they came because a year before that... Do you have a mic there, Alicia? I'm sorry. I didn't even see you there. Pardon me. Did you have anything to say?
No.
Okay. You're hiding behind the speaker, so I didn't even see you there. I'm sorry. My apologies. The Waylon Jennies actually made their very first public performance here on UMFM in this time slot. It was before I was actually hosting the show, but I was here as part of Songwriter Circle. And the Waylon Jennies, Ruth Moody, Nikki Mehta, and Kara Left, originally got together just to do a show together. They thought it would be fun. And then they realized that they had so much fun that it was going to be a good show. And so they did this little show at Sled Dog Music and weren't sure if anybody was going to care. But once word got out, the show sold out. So they added in another one. They did two shows at Sled Dog Music in 2002. Pardon me. And they were big successes. I was at one of them and had a great time. And they had so much fun and got such a great reaction that they've basically been together ever since. Of course, Kara has left the band, but... Ruth and Nikki are still together. But on the anniversary of their first performance at Sled Dog Music, they came in here live in the studio and played for us. So we're going to hear something from January 19th of 2003. A couple things from our good friends, the Waylon Jennies, because we absolutely love them. And they're doing a show in October, and hopefully if I got my way, they'd come back again. But anyways, here's some of our favorites, the Waylon Jennies live on Tell the Band to Go Home in 2003.
Oh man, look at my life, I'm a lot like you were. Oh man, look at my life, I'm a lot like you Old man, look at my life, 24 and there's so much more. Live alone in a paradise that makes me think of two. Love lost, such a cost. Give me things that don't get lost, like a coin that won't get tossed, rolling home to you. Oh man, take a look at my life, I'm a lot like you. I need someone to love me the whole day through. Oh, I look in my eyes and you can tell that's true. In your eyes, run around the same old town. Doesn't mean that much to me, to mean that much to you. I've been first and last. Look at how the time goes past. But I'm all alone at last, rolling home to you. Take a look at my life, I'm a lot like you. I need someone to love me the whole day through. Oh, I look in my eyes and you can tell that's true. You were.
Old Man by the Wailing Jennies has performed live here on Tell the Band to Go Home in 2003, and I was going to play you some more, but I had to break in and tell you that somebody has guessed the top played artist, and believe it or not, it was Lucy, and I swear to God, this was a fair competition. She guessed fair and square. I didn't tip her off, and hopefully KK didn't either, but the most played artist in Tell the Band to Go Home history with 99 plays, and today I think we'll bump him up to 100, is this guy right here.
Hi, this is Fred Eaglesmith. You're listening to Tell the Band Go Home, and you should tell the band to go home because they always will eat your food when you leave the house to go to work and you leave them there. Tell them to go home. 101.5 FUMFM.
I'm a little bit surprised at 99 that Fred Eaglesmith was the most played artist. Now, if you want, we still have another prize to give away. Well, we have two. We're going to give one away in a draw, and then the other two we'll give away. Well, I guess the other one now, because Lucy won one. But I'm still, you know, if you want to guess the most played song, and the hint that it was local, I thought was a pretty good hint, because it can only be a few people. Really, there's not a lot of local people that we play a whole lot. And I'll give you a hint at number two, because I said you could guess number two or number one. It is also local number two. So, not a bad hint, I think. But if you also want to guess at the top most played albums, there's two tied at the most played albums, if you want to guess one of those. Or if you want to guess who is the number two most played artist, and I kind of thought that maybe this guy was going to be number one. When I was guessing who's going to be number one, this was the name that came out of my mouth, so I thought it was going to be somebody else. And again, it's somebody not local who has more in common with Carter than Alicia. So if you want to guess that, then I'll give you another CD. So there you go. After the Wailing Jennies, we of course had many more guests. And by the way, I finally updated my website, the past guests page, which was horribly, horribly out of date. I think I hadn't updated it since 2005 or something embarrassing like that. So I updated that with all of the guests that have been on this show anyway since the beginning. So you can check that out at tellthebandtogohome.com. Sorry, that's okay. It's all right. No problem. Little rattle of tinfoil. It's always welcome here on the show. That reminds us that if anybody wants cake, nobody showed up for cake yet. It's really good.
There are 19 letters until
Carter, you should have some. I'm telling you, man. It's good stuff. What was that, sorry?
There are 19 letters.
19 letters. So there's 19 cupcakes.
Yeah.
Excellent. So we got lots to share. Anyways, one of my favorite all-time live in-studio performances was by a guy who, and I said this before, lots of people don't get this guy, and I understand that. I think he's hilarious, and I think he's brilliant. And I think that's because I saw him live, and I just thought, like, this was the craziest thing I'd ever seen. This guy, Jeff Berner, I talked to him before on Howard's show. I guess Howard sort of introduced me in a roundabout way by having him on his show. He had him on his show, I think, 3 weeks in a row or something. And every week it just got weirder and weirder, to the point where I think the last time was the time that he was on the air talking, and Bill Bourne was here live in the studio, and Howard asked them to talk to each other. And then for some reason, Howard, in his infinite wisdom, asked Bill Bourne, who was in the studio, and Jeff Berner, who was in Vancouver, on the phone to do a song together, which was hilarious. So they did a little bit of Goodnight Irene. So I knew that Jeff Berner was pretty cool. And he was playing here on a Saturday night at the High and Lonesome Club with Chris Demeanor in 2003. And so I said, well, if you happen to be here on Sunday afternoon, would you like to come in and do my show? And he said, sure, he'd love to. So we were supposed to hook up at the High and Lonesome Club and talk. And so Jeff was there, but Jeff had a lot of fun that night. And I wasn't so sure that he was going to make it to the show the next day, because he stayed up really late, if you know what I mean. And so I was a little worried about him, that he wasn't going to make it down here on time. But much to my surprise, the next morning, he phoned me actually earlier than he was supposed to and said, do you think we could do that interview even earlier than originally planned? And I was like, okay. So I went to pick him up, and Jeff kind of looked like he had died. He didn't look well. So I wasn't so sure that it was going to be a good interview. But I picked him up, brought him in here, got him some espresso from across the hall, and fixed him up okay. And he came in and gave what I thought was a pretty fun show. And I think we'll play something from that from February the 16th of 2003. This is Jeff Bremer performing a song by a lady who's also been on the show, Anne-Louise Genet from the Yukon. This is something called The South Side of Town on Tell the Band to Go Home.
There is a road in North Alberta, runs right through the middle of our town. Somewhere somebody's got a secret, 'cause on that road they ran somebody down. Her name was Sally John. She lived on the south side of town. She had four kids in a two-room shack. She didn't know she wouldn't be back. She left home for some eggs and a pound of ground on the south side of town. Where the river and the laneway meets the road, Sally turned and headed for home. Out of the night, a green Lincoln came, picked her up and tossed her away. She flew like an angel to the ground on the south side of town. On the south side of town. By 12 o'clock, when Sally wasn't home, her biggest boy got on the telephone. The constable took the call, but he did fuck all. He thought he knew exactly what went down on the south side of town. On the south side of town. Told the boy she's probably in the bar. Boy said she's been sober since last fall. Well, the cop he laughed, said, yeah, right. She's probably out on a tear tonight, but if she ain't home by morning, I'll come round to the south side of town. To the south side of town. Past the bridge, she'd made it halfway out of the ditch. God knows how many folks drove by, but Sally John was left to die. I guess I'll never forget the sight, Sally John in the morning light. She lived on the south side of town. On the south side of town. On the south side of town.
That is Jeff Bremer, recorded live here on Tell the Band to Go Home in February of 2003 with The South Side of Town. And Jeff Bremer has given us many, many entertaining and memorable moments over the years since then. Shelley reminded me of a great time when I was interviewing Jeff Bremer. I was interviewing Jeff Bremer, and he asked if I could play a song because he had to go pee during the middle of the interview. So I had to put him on hold and play a song and then talk to him again so that he could go pee. Does that ever happen to you, Carter, when you just can't wait?
What?
Never mind. It's all right. Jeff Bremer also gained me some notoriety when one time Well, for a couple of reasons. He was coming to town in 2003, and he was supposed to play at the High and Lonesome Club in, I guess it was November of that year. And it was around that time that there was a bit of a shakeup over at the High and Lonesome Club, and our good friend, one of the patron saints of music in this town, John Scholes, was basically ejected from the club that he had built from the ground up and made as great as it was. And so the club was at least temporarily shut down, and Jeff had nowhere to play. So he phoned me up and said, "Hey, I got nowhere to play. Can you help me out? Because you know, John Scholes got fired, and I can't play there." And I hadn't heard about this, so I got a little upset, and I made some phone calls and found out what the deal was. And I was like, "Well, that's not right. Everybody knows that John Scholes is fantastic and an important part of the community." And I said, "Well, we got to do something about that." So I decided to have this fundraising concert, headlined by Jeff Berner at the West End Cultural Center, where folks would raise some money and help John Scholes get on his feet. And so we threw together this show, and it was a huge success. But Jeff also wanted to do his own show, and had managed to get himself a show at the Academy Coffee Company. But he got a bit of a raw deal there, a really bad deal, actually. And it turned out that the night was double booked, and at the last minute, the show was canceled. And so Jeff had nowhere to play, so I decided to put on a house concert and just put on my own show, for goodness sake. But I don't have a house, so I couldn't have a house concert. So I decided to have it at work. At the time, I worked at a daycare center and decided to have this Jeff Berner play at a daycare center, which I don't know if you know how ridiculous that is, but it was pretty ridiculous. So anyways, had this show and promoted it, but it was kind of last minute, and the daycare was way the heck out there on Portage Avenue, so nobody came. Actually, well, that's not true. It was Berner and Dave Lang, who was also part of the show. And Christy came, and Shelley came. And so there was, you know, five of us all together at this show. And so we kind of didn't really have much of a show. Instead, we decided to go hang out at the Silver Heights restaurant. And we just kind of had some fun and had some ribs and had a good time at the Silver Heights restaurant. And while we were there, Jeff was goofing around and he was telling us about this song that he was writing about Fred Eaglesmith called Phony Drawl. And he just kind of sang some of it to us at the time. And we thought it was really funny. We didn't think it was a serious song or anything. We just kind of thought, you know, it was kind of cute. And whatever, but we remembered it. And then he came back later on and played this song, and it was absolutely hilarious. And shortly after that, I got an email from somebody who wanted to hear this song because we'd been talking about it. And so I emailed Jeff, and I said, "Do you by chance have a recording of Phony Drawl that I can play on my show for one of my listeners?" And he said, well, yeah, as a matter of fact, I do. And he just had it from a live show. And he emailed me this thing. And he said, "If you want, put it on your website and people can download it." And I thought, well, that's fantastic. Of course I want to do that. So we had this exclusive recording of Phony Drawl. I made the huge mistake, though, of saying that it was sort of inspired by Fred Eaglesmith. And I put it on my website, and some people got really upset. I actually gained some notoriety. I was written up by a writer from the Globe and Mail, who didn't find it very funny, and many Fred Eaglesmith fans didn't find it very funny at all, either. So they were kind of mad at me for a long time, but I thought it was pretty funny, and I liked it. So I think if I can get this working, I think I'll play a Phony Drawl just for fun. But I'm not so sure that I can. Because there are... Oh, I don't know if it's going to work. I don't know if it's going to work. Isn't that sad?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what I could do? I could play a spot from Candor, our favorite book and music store, and then come back. And hopefully by then I'll have this working. Why don't we do that? Here's some words from our friends Amanda and Jules, who we love dearly. And they've been a big part of supporting us and helping us out here at the show. So please, if you haven't been down to Candor yet, 390 Provence, do yourself a favor, go check them out. Let's hear a little bit more about their great store.
Candor Books and Music is Winnipeg's best new independent book and music store, located at 390K Provence Boulevard. We have a fantastic selection of CDs and DVDs specializing in hard-to-find folk, roots, blues, jazz, alt-country, local, world, and more. Don't worry, we still stock all of your old favorites, too. We also feature a great selection of literature focusing on musical, political, pop culture, spiritual, travel, and even food. Give us a call at 668-3655 or check us out on the web at www.myspace/candorshop for more information and for hours of operation. Remember, we have something for everyone. Candor Books, Music, Apparel, and Gifts. Be loud and vocal. Be proud to support local.